Hey there, Robert. Can I call you Robbie? I'm going to call you Robbie, because right now I don't respect you. Look, Robbie. No, Robbie, listen to me. We've got you on security camera, okay? Listen, no, shut the hell up. We saw you drag the little girl out of her wheelchair and then take a goddamn joyride in the thing. Yeah, we heard you. We got you on tape riding around screaming Timmy. All right? No. Oh, you think we're going to call the cops? No, we ain't call... Those aren't cops. No. Those two nice men over there, we've got a little room under the castle. Okay? The Disabled Land Castle? Yeah, you drove by it screaming Timmy? We got a little room under there. Those two nice men are going to take you down there. And they're going to introduce you to the best surgical equipment that Home Depot has to offer. No, don't panic, Robbie. Robbie, listen to me. Don't worry, it's going to be okay. When it's all done, we're going to take care of you. Because at Disabled Land, we look after our own. And when we're done, you're going to be one of us. Understand? Okay, now, get him the hell out of here. I have to open the gates and invite in our guest. Okay? Yeah. Hey, bye, Robbie. See you in a few hours. Hate these people some days.
Fucking Robbie.
Yep. And the gates of Disabled Land are now open. I am your humble host, Wes of Disabled Land. And we have, depending when this episode airs in the stream of things, our very first guest to Disabled Land from the Bloody Broads pod, Bhavna Sharma. Say hello, Bhavna. I am so sorry you had to hear that unpleasantness. Sometimes we just gotta do what we gotta do.
Hey, listen, you gotta get shit done. If that's what you need to do, then that's what you need to do.
Exactly. I'm
good
glad
riddance
you understand.
To bad rubbish. Or exactly. Should I say good riddance to bad Robbie?
Robbie will be back. Robbie will be fine. Robbie's getting improved.
He will be upgraded.
Fixed. De-ablified.
He'll become a Cyberman. It's fine.
So, Bhavna, do you want to tell a little bit of yourself, your podcast?
Yeah, sure. I'm Bhavna, Bhavna Sharma, as Wes said. I am a co-host of the Bloody Broads pod. We are a horror pod where we do deep dives into your favorite movies, trying to look at them from a fresh lens, focusing in on mental health representation, and just basically we're not afraid to kill our darlings, but, you know, explain why they're still our darlings. Yeah, that's us. Check us out. We're every 2 weeks. Check out our episode with Wes. He was just on, depending on when this comes out, but he was in our January episode for 28 Days Later, where we, you know, get into some dystopia
so much
talk.
Fun.
Yes, it was so much fun. Please do check that one out. I'm happy to be here. And Wes, do the people know what we're talking about today?
No, not yet. But I'm hoping with our little intro there and Robbie that they might get some idea.
Well, I mean, if you called Robbie Cleopatra.
Robbie wasn't that pretty.
Hercules?
No, not really.
Do we still really think Cleopatra's pretty, though?
By the standards of that age, yes. I don't know.
I mean,
Olga's
pretty.
Her in color, and I don't know, maybe.
No, I'm a firm believer of a person's insides match their outsides. So once I know that you are a horrible human being, you're just fucking ugly to me.
Yeah, I suppose that's true.
Yes.
I can go with that logic.
Thank you. And that's the only time I will comment on someone's body, too, by the way, is if they are a horrible human being.
Yes. But today, I have invited Bhavna here. Because we are talking about a very special movie. A movie that, despite the fact I have only seen it in its entirety probably three times now, two of those times being in the last 2 days, we are talking about Todd Browning's Freaks.
Oh yeah, we're going into the pre-code era, guys. This is pre-code, and you can fucking tell.
Oh yes. There is going to be some language in the description of this movie, language that I might normally use anyway, but just a little trigger warning if you're a disabled person that likes very specific language, there may be some things while talking about this movie that may scrape at your insides a little bit. So just a fair warning, but stick with us.
I mean, I'd like to give one too, just in case. I like to keep up with what's current and what terminology is current. So if I, by mistake and ignorance, use anything incorrect, feel free to roast me and correct me. I'm open to learn.
I can say Bhavna is one of the good ones. I have known her for years. If anything, I am a much worse person than her.
That's rude. But I could see how that could also be true in some cases. But not all. Not all. You're a stronger person than me most days, Wes. And I don't mean that in some bullshit patronizing way. I mean, like, your restraint from committing homicide inspires me. Because I don't have it.
Yes, yes, my restraints.
But listen, yes. I'm sure we have a pretty we at least have a hit list in common.
Oh yes, most definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Todd Browning's Freaks, it was what, 1932.
Wow. Yep. And the story was written in 1923. Spurs.
Yeah, I need to get a hold of a copy of that story, but I know it was like fairly different to begin with.
Yeah, because I think it was part of a short story that was published in like a short story collection, which those, unless you're Stephen King, are hard to come by.
But basically, if you have not seen this movie, and if you're disabled, and especially if you're disabled and you're a fan of my work, if you're a fan of this podcast and you have not seen this movie, you really need to see it once. Because in the two rewatches I have done the last 2 days for this podcast, prep myself for it, I have realized how much of the disabled land philosophy is in this movie and how much of my personal philosophy is in this movie.
Honestly, a lot of the personal philosophy of a lot of people that are considered others as well, not just through this lens, not to be like, not just disabled people, but I mean,
No. I fully know that, you know, I have no doubt you also know the othering and the othering very well.
So, yeah, a version of me is in this movie and I don't like it.
Which one?
Hans.
Oh, okay.
And Frida. I was the doll siblings.
Okay. Yeah, no, that makes sense. Yep. Okay.
Yep. Except, you know, don't worry, I've never been poisoned and I don't have millions. I'm broke as shit. And I'm not German. Or a small person.
Okay, so this movie, going to get around to it, is, I'm not going to, I have the IMDb synopsis here, but they are so poorly written. The funny thing is, I just talked about Resident Evil in my last episode.
Oh, great.
I tried to read the Resident Evil 4 synopsis.
Oh, God, no.
And it's just such garbage. It's, you know, still less garbage than the movie. But
I mean,
so basically, this movie takes place entirely in a carnival in the 1930s. It is an old black and white movie. I don't know how many years ahead it is of, like, talky films as opposed to silent films, but it
wouldn't be too far into the talkies. I'd say it'd be less than 10 years. Yeah. I assume, if I remember my film history correctly. Please don't kill me in the comments if I'm incorrect.
If that's what people are commenting on this, I'll be shocked. It is a very old film. It is, Like I said, it is like only a few years past silent films. It is not incredibly well acted. But the great thing, and it's really, it's a 60-minute movie that was supposed to be 90 minutes, but we'll get into that later.
Oh, we will.
And that's another reason I wanted Bob Don. But it takes place entirely in a carnival in the 1930s. The wonderful thing about this is where now it would be a lot of, like, for the carnival freaks, and yes, that is what they were called at the time. They were in a freak show. That was the language of the day. I still don't mind the word in that setting. They used real carnival freaks. They used real people, often disabled, often with very, lack of a better term, severe disabilities, as the characters, as the people that they would have played. So now where it would be CGI or puppetry or something.
Or FX work and a bunch of other things.
I still think the Caterpillar Man now, they would CGI Ving Rhames, but...
I could see it.
But yes, so this was a movie that was shot and used the people. It was actual representation. It was the people, despite the fact people will say, oh, it wasn't a great representation or anything like that. These were people that, like, this was already their job.
Mm-hmm.
They were already working in carnivals. They were already making money in carnivals. And then they got this chance to do that in, at the time, what was a movie with a relatively well-known director.
Yep.
So, not quite a Tarantino of the time, but, like, well enough known that this was a big deal. And at the time, the film got butchered.
Mm-hmm.
It is the story of a little person. Sorry, Bob, but I just want to get through the synopsis.
Oh, yeah,
so
of course.
It is the story of, well, two little people in the movie called Midgets. I still prefer Midget, but I'm just above the line, so I don't get to decide that. So two little people who are, they talk like they're engaged at the time, but the man, Hans, he gets seduced by Cleopatra, who is the trapeze artist. And Cleopatra is a condescending bitch.
For lack of a better word.
Hans is in love. And over the first 30, 40 minutes of the movie, a lot of other able-bodied melodrama happens for the other people on the circuit, throughout the circus. But it is her basically stealing Hans away from his other little person fiance. She is also romantically involved with, is it Hercules? Hercules, the strong man.
Yep.
And she finds out that Hans is about to inherit a whole lot of money. So she and Hercules conspire for her to marry Hans and then poison him and get his money. After she gets drunk at the wedding party and lets her true colors show in the most beautiful Karen moment of...
Love it.
No, I'm not like you. You can't make me like you. If you've ever heard the one of us, gooble gaba, gooble gaba. This is what this is from.
Know your meme, guys.
The freaks decide to take care of business. And the whole thing is, the freaks, like I say with disabled land and disabled people, have a code. They look after each other. So as the plot unravels, it is discovered that she has been trying to poison Hans. She also tries to make it look like she saved Hans's life by giving him the right medicine to take care of the poison. So he thinks she's the hero, but eventually he figures it out. And the other freak show members, both disabled and abled, who just have like other things going on. I believe one of them is trans, or at least transcoded. I'm sure I'm getting that wrong. I'm not sure how you would call that one, Bhavna.
Yeah, I would say they were transcoded for the time. I think they just basically took anybody that wasn't just a straight person and just kind of like went with it, went to town.
Exactly.
With all the different people.
So basically the other people in the circus, mainly the disabled people, conspire to deal with this with Hans. This all comes to a head one night on the road. The plan comes into action. Hercules tries to murder his ex-girlfriend who has threatened to go to the coppers. And the freaks, carts go off the road, little conveniently, horse carts go off the road, and the freaks put their plan into action. They wait with Hans in his trailer. His loving wife, Cleopatra, brings the medicine. They turn around. One of them has a knife. The other one has a gun. And little Hans is sitting there, almost in a Tony Soprano, beautiful little, I love the way he just gets out of the bed and just sits on the bed and folds his hands. Like,
yeah.
Bitch, we're going to have a talk. One thing leads to another. Things escalate. The freaks, in almost a scene out of 28 Days Later, because like I said, Bhavna and Jamie and I just covered that movie on her podcast.
Mm-hmm.
In the rain, chase Cleopatra and chase Hercules out into the mud. Hercules is stabbed. And a group of disabled people, the freaks of the carnival, fall upon him. Cleopatra is chased into the woods. And you don't actually see what happens to Cleopatra until after Cleopatra is sitting in a box at the freak show. The biggest freak of them all, because she has essentially been turned into the Duck Lady.
Yep.
Her legs are gone. Her arms are wings. Her vocal cords have been messed with. All she can do is sit there and squawk.
Oh,
she
yeah.
is now one of them. Because if you fuck with the club, you can join the club. Am I missing anything there, Bhavna? Am I missing any important details in that synopsis? It's not a long movie, and really, you can miss 60
minutes.
You can miss the first 20 minutes of it almost.
You really can, because it's one of those ones where like it's building up all the way until Act 4, and then all the action's in Act 4. So you say it's not like a Tarantino movie, but it is, because Tarantino movies, all the action essentially happens in the last act.
True. Better writing. I'd love Tarantino to rewrite this. I mean, I wouldn't. But
well,
I kind
how
of
many? Would. I think he'd give her feet. He would give her feet if he wrote
or
it.
there would be someone that. I mean, there's the one woman that only has feet.
Oh, true. Yes, I did love watching her drink
girl.
The wine at the party.
Oh, absolutely.
That was fun. No, aside from the ending that was originally supposed to be the ending, that's about it.
Is that when they cut Hercules? They also cut Hercules' balls
they
off.
Yep. And then you see him singing in the falsetto, which I don't think anyone has ever... I haven't seen that ending. I've only ever heard about it.
Apparently the original cut is lost.
Okay.
Nobody has it.
They basically did this cut to make Hans not look like a monster and keep him on the moral ground.
Mm-hmm. Like, everything I read on it and a couple things that I watched on YouTube have said that once MGM recut the movie... No one has seen the original cut. Like, they may very well have burned it. I don't know. Like, this movie was... MGM, what was it? I wanted to say... MGM ended up posting some... I talk like this is fucking Twitter in 1930. But MGM ended up putting out a statement... Mm-hmm. Because they were like, oh, you exploited these people, or you grossed us out, or horrified us, whatever... And the statement was, what about the Siamese twins? Have they no right to love? The pinheads, the half-man, the half-woman, the dwarfs, they all have the same passions, joys, sorrows, and laughter as human beings. Is such a subject that untouchable? Which, unfortunately, also stands today. There's a lot of, in this movie, disabled joy that, you know, some able comes around and tries to cut down. The kids, the disabled people playing and dancing in the park, the pinheads, that freak show term, the freak show term was they were the pinheads. That's what it was. I'm not sure what the particular disability is.
Me
That's
neither.
That's what it was. That's what it went with. Don't come at me. I'm going with the movie terminology here.
I'm not exactly sure what that is either.
And, you know, the able to show up and, oh, I would have. That there should be laws against these people. Da 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 da. And it's still relevant today. Like, it is horrifically relevant today.
It is, and I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing this correctly, microcephaly. Microcephaly is what it is.
That sounds
right.
That's
the condition.
Yes.
Is a medical condition involving a smaller than normal head. It is present at birth and or may develop in the first few years of life. Brain development is often affected. People with this disorder often have an intellectual disability, poor motor function, poor speech, abnormal facial features, and are prone to seizures and or dwarfism.
Bhavna can both Google and podcast at the same time. And that's
it's a skill.
That is why she is here.
Yes. I'm just fact-checking as we go, people. I'm fact-checking as we go. Nothing but the facts and opinions on this show. No fake news.
Exactly.
But one thing I did find interesting that I want to mention, like, right at the beginning, is that mm-hmm. the actors that played Frida and Hans are actually siblings.
Yes, that's why there was, like, no romantic interaction between them, because they couldn't get around that.
That's why they were just exes, and that's why they were both German, as opposed to... You know,
well,
just
they,
Hans.
They look alike, too. So it
yeah.
would, like, I mean, I suppose that could have been written off as, you know, they were supposed to be related in the circus act as well. But no, they were brother and sister, which they're.
Yeah.
We're trying to find ways to, you know, not make that awkward even then. And, yeah.
And they were both adults. So they yes. really did cast, like, as close as they could with this one.
Oh, no, absolutely. Like, I forget how old they were.
They would have been in their 20s, I want to say. Like, late 20s.
Yeah, so, I mean, it like, everyone in this was, like, pretty much what they were. I actually had to go back and check to make sure that the conjoined twins were actual conjoined twins. Because I was pretty sure I were, but I couldn't figure out exactly where they were connected, but they were walking too well together.
Mm-hmm.
I refused. I couldn't believe this. Like, no, there's no way that's like that's not real.
Yeah, because they wouldn't have been that coordinated. You couldn't
exactly
have, like, especially people that wouldn't have had exposure to these kinds of people like we do now through media and through various other forms wouldn't have been able to actors would not have been able to.
It wouldn't have been done in the same way. They would have been connected in some other way to make it easier.
Yes.
That walking style would have taken too much practice. I do love the fact, though, that, like, one of them, the one sister gets married and the husband is completely always complaining about his sister-in-law being
yeah.
there. And then the other sister gets engaged and mm-hmm. it's like the husbands don't understand that they're going to have to be living
together.
Yeah. It's like, oh, you can come visit. No, you can come visit. And it's
like, you should come visit us sometime.
Guys,
oh, no, and you need to come visit us sometime.
That is, like, one of the few, like, ha-ha funnies in this movie. Where it's just, like, in a movie where, like, that's the funny thing about this. In a movie where most of the able-bodied people are the villains, despite mm-hmm. the fact this movie is called Freaks, most of the, like, actual funny jokes are at the expense of the ables.
Oh, yeah. And I mean,
except for the clown that stutters, but that was a little bit.
Yeah. But wouldn't you argue that, I mean, hasn't everybody since this movie came out argued that the real freaks were those two abled people?
Oh, yeah.
Cleopatra
no,
and Hercules?
I mean, absolutely. Like, either that or this, that, you know, freak is not a bad term. It's, you know, just mm-hmm. like a reclamation term or something like that, much like cripple is here. But, mm-hmm. Yeah, this movie is just, I think it should be seen as incredibly empowering because, like, as soon as she shows her true colors that they already suspect,
mm-hmm.
then they just, you can automatically see people then plotting against her. Like,
yeah.
from the second she throws the wine on everybody, you're like, oh, yeah, that bitch is dead. She's dead. Like there's.
Oh, they're gonna
fuck her up in some way or the other. Like even if you haven't seen this movie yet, it's just like
that was just as good as seeing like a sniper red dot on her head.
But like you watch that scene, that table scene, and it's like a goddamn episode of The Sopranos.
Oh, love it.
Like, I mean, because really, The Soprano, what was The Sopranos but a bunch of fucking weirdos sitting around a table
eating food.
Eating food in like dressed like nobody outside of the mafia, and I'm gonna get a hit on me now with dress.
Oh man, yeah, no, it's true. I mean, that's just Jersey, Wes.
And like guys named Big Pussy, and it's
but not even just that his name was Pussy, but just the way that like James Gandolfini pronounced it, it was like Pushy.
Yo, Puss.
Pussy's dead. Oh man. No, it's very much that. And like it's like they were galvanized, but in a very like, oh, okay. You fucked around. Just hold on, you'll find out.
Exactly. And like in the end, the only one that has any guilt is Hans. It's like, you know, oh Hans, you tried to stop them. I'm like, why?
You only wanted to know what the poison was, Hans. And it's like, sure, but I also wanted that bitch dead. Because that doesn't, to me, that didn't jive with his scene when he's talking to I forgot the character's name, but I refer to him as Peeping Tom because he was always the one peeping in a window. That's where you saw him the most. But the scene after Cleo gives him his medicine, quote unquote, and then like he comes in and he's
watching through the window. Yeah.
And then Hans is just like, that doesn't, him feeling guilty doesn't jive with his just like Mr. Burns-esque like glare going like, yes, she will find out, you know.
That may have been part of the added footage, because I know not only did they cut a bunch of footage out, they also filmed other things. Like, apparently, like, they cut more than an hour out of the hour and a half film and then added, shot new footage to add. So it may have been, like, no, we need to give this a more happy ending or something. Or I don't...
Yeah. Because like, I feel like
it feels
scene,
tacked on.
Yeah, that the ending definitely was. So I feel like the scene where Hans was like, I'll get you, my pretty... was probably part of the original that went with the other cut,
yeah.
Where he has no remorse.
Because like the other guy that you're talking about was very much like the Paulie Walnuts,
yeah,
to his Tony Soprano. Like it was very like he was just the one that was going to get business done.
Yeah, that was Uncle Paulie.
Yeah, like it, and I can't remember the name of the other guy who.
It was Syl and Polly.
Yes, that I mean the other guy, like you had the one with the knife and the one with the gun in there, and it almost could have been the boat with Big Pussy. Like,
yes, it's true.
Where did you put the poison?
Yeah, where did you put the poison? Oh Lord! Oh my God! Now I'm just imagining that character with a painting reimagined as Hans, but like as Napoleon in his wagon. It's a very niche reference for anyone that's seen The Sopranos.
Well, I mean, really, painting a short person as Napoleon is not that hard.
I mean, a Napoleon wasn't even short.
No.
Oh, man. No, I could. But like that, I felt like they hit that ending is just kind of pandering. You know, like I get it for that era. Like I get it that the studio thought they pushed the envelope a little too much with the meat and potatoes of this story to begin with, that they needed some kind of like, you know, happy, warm ending kind of thing, but like morality wise.
Yeah, but I'm also amazed that they put that morality wise thing onto it without, like, I'm surprised that there any edits didn't like just double down on the idea of the disabled menace. Like you would think that was the way they would go, or, you know, try and make Cleopatra somehow sympathetic or anything like that.
I think
you would think that would be the way that they would end up going with it, or just not put the fucking film out at all. Like,
no, agreed. But I think that if they had made Cleopatra good, like, I feel like that would have robbed them of like their originality. Because I feel like this was a time where you were getting a lot of formulaic films and a lot of like literature adaptations, especially for the talkies. You know, there were like, this is your Nosferatu time, your, you know,
Phantom
million
of the Opera.
Romeo and Juliet. Yeah, Phantom of the Opera, you know, Frankenstein's Monster, The Mummy. You were getting all of these in like this decade, you know, or before it. Like, this is original. This is original. Like, yeah, it's based off of a story, but it's based off of a modern story. The story was only 10 years old, not 20, not 50, not 100.
Exactly.
So, and this was pre-code. This is probably one of the movies that pushed for the code to be a thing later, but I know that I'm pretty sure this, if I remember correctly, again, do not get at me for this one, but I believe this is one of the ones they used as an example.
I can't remember when the coding came in, because I've watched some videos on that as well, but I can't remember. You're more the movie expert than I am, which is another reason why you're here. So if you don't remember it, I'm not gonna.
Yeah, no, don't worry about it. I'll find an answer for you if I don't know it already. 2 years later. 2 years after this movie, the code was enforced.
Yeah, that seems about right.
Yep, that was the Hays Code, which, you know, Not fun. Because that's when you had to really, like, you know, read between the lines, to quote Jack Black, if you wanted to push any agendas through.
Yeah. But, like, also, as far as, you know, as I talk about how I still see this film as revolutionary, the freak part of the cast, the disabled part of the cast, had to have their own tent to eat in at the MGM lot. Because they terrified the people in the cafeteria or commissary or whatever they called it. And so they had to get their own tent for them because they weren't allowed to eat with the other staff. So that's something there. It was the movie is revolutionary, but like you can see I know a lot of people have mixed feelings, and I guess it's the point where I can get into this. I know a lot of people have mixed feelings about, oh, well, you know, the freak shows, they were exploitive and all this, and, you know, it was like an ugly way to do things. And I don't disagree. It was also the only way a disabled person with a severe disability, like having neither arms nor legs or... being a little person, God, I hate that term, but they prefer it. Being a little person, or conjoined twin, anything like that, it was the best way for them to be able to make a decent living. And it, I mean, yeah, they weren't always treated great by the employer, but some of them did quite well for themselves, and some of them were able to get some autonomy for themselves. And people will say, oh, it was this horrible, horrible thing. I'm sorry, have you looked at the Learning Channel lately? Have you looked at TLC? Have you ever sat down and watched an episode of Little People Big World or their six other little people shows, The Little Farmers or whatever? Have you sat back and watched any of the My 632 Pound Life or any Honey Boo Boo, any of these things?
I'm probably one of the only millennials that does not watch too many reality TV shows, or like is very, very specific about the ones that I watch. And I stopped watching TLC after Trading Spaces started becoming stupid. And I've watched only one episode of My Whatever Pound Life, and it gave me nightmares because, you know, as a person that's been bigger for most of my life, you know, there was an episode with someone where they didn't clean under a fold of skin, and like it was infected and all that kind of stuff. And I'm like, oh God, could not be me. Not in the sense that I couldn't be that big. That's not where my mind went at all. It's like, I couldn't not scrub and dry and clean every part of my body, you know, or maintain myself that way. Like,
and you can't, And you can't tell me that the people on that particular show are making a lot of money for the amount of exploitation that's being done for them. Because like they're just not. I'm sure the little people Roloff family in that are making the money is coming in from like the 20th season of their show.
But, yeah.
Because I don't understand why you would live under the reality TV umbrella if you weren't making the big money.
Yeah, why are the Duggars getting all the money?
But like now, and I say this because I have literally seen it on TikTok, and mm-hmm. I know people in like through Instagram and that. Now, like the girl without arms would be mm-hmm. dancing on TikTok and having OnlyFans.
Hey, listen, if you got it, flaunt it. Or if you, or in this case, if you don't got it, flaunt it.
Exactly. There's no, I mean, I'm not doing any shame here whatsoever. I'm mm-hmm. just saying that the situation has evolved. The disabled autonomy has evolved. Like, the conjoined twins would probably be making a killing on OnlyFans. The, mm-hmm. like, all this stuff, it would be going some other way. The man with no arms and no legs might be running his own freak show now. Because they still exist in just different forms. He'd be touring the Ripley's Museums.
Yeah.
Or, you know, owning a shitload of real estate.
Hans would still be a mob boss.
Hans could totally be a mob boss.
Frida could be a Griselda type, you know?
Exactly. Like, it, you know, it could be a nice little... That's what they need. A little people mafia reality show.
I would watch the shit out of that one, though. Because I would like to see the cons they pull.
That is the one thing I really want for this show, and I keep reaching out, and I'm hoping to find someone. I need a true crime person that knows disability true crime where the disabled people were not the victims.
Okay.
I need to find this. I need to find...
Like, I'm sure they exist. I feel like I've heard of some.
I found one guy in Canada that is now dead. That
Who?
Was, I forget his name now, but he was putting out hits after he had been shot in the head and was blind and paralyzed.
Oh, shit.
And he was putting out, he was a quadriplegic, he died the last years of his life, he had been shot in the head, he spent the last years of his life in bed in a, like, hospital, hospice or something like that. He was blind, he was quadriplegic, and he was still setting up hits for...
I will have to find out about
and
this
organized,
person. Fascinating.
For organized crime, and still, they're convinced that he was still having people killed.
Jesus. Okay, I'll have to look that one up.
And I think he might have been brown.
Amazing. One of us. What I would love to see is a Mr. Nobody or a John Wick-esque film with a disabled person where the thing that sets them off is something. You don't have to kill a dog. You don't have to go after someone's family. No. Fuck that. The wrong toppings on a sub. You know, butchering a family recipe.
I have had a little short film that if I ever have the money I want to produce with one of my disabled land kids that I've done work for in the past. And what the whole idea is that it would just be her reading hate comments on her social media and the jokes and shit. And then one, like her picking up the phone and making a phone call and mm-hmm. just being like, yep, I'll send you the money. Yeah, no, I want it done tonight. And
I
then
love it.
There would be this scene that would very much just be a ripoff of the Jules and Vincent scene from Pulp Fiction where they're walking out of their car up into only it would be a nice suburban house.
Mm-hmm.
And they would come in. They would fuck up some 19-year-old kid's knees with a sledgehammer.
Oh, my God.
Take out the phone, put on the video call, and it would be her little face staring through the phone at him and just like, just walk, bro. Just walk.
Yes.
Just a little 15-minute thing.
Yes,
of this
that
little
is
girl
such a good short.
Putting out a fucking hit on her trolls. That's what I
oh,
want.
Oh, this is giving me so many ideas, Wes. I have too much of a horror mind.
I want the spinoff of Breaking Bad where it's just his kid getting into the family business.
Yes.
I mean, I realize that that was written in such a way that that's not the way it would go, but...
Hey, whatever.
God, I would love, like, the new meth kingpin or, you know, some other form of organized crime, just him getting into it and willingly,
it'll be well, you know what? I still have all these contacts my dad used. I just promise I won't be violent. And then he is.
Exactly. But, Bhavna, you said you had a story around this thing as far as the groupings and the othering and things that you wanted to tell.
Yeah, like, as a person that is abled, or at least very visibly abled, basically, if you don't know, you don't know. I want to talk about this experience I had as a kid, because this film really hits, like, it's oh. Let me organize my thoughts for a second here. So, like, when I was in elementary school, my elementary school actually amalgamated with a local school of the developmentally disabled children. Like, it was exclusively that, but they were shutting down due to funding. So our school's kind of like, and we were an alternative public school, so we merged in the late 90s. Like, we built a new school together. So it was state of the art for 1998, which is when they launched that schoolhouse. Which is still there and still has everything. And it was like fully equipped to deal with children with, you know, a myriad of developmental disabilities, like ranging from anything from physical to mental to everything in between. And they were all school age kids. So we were all the same age. And so what I really liked about my school was that, yes, though they had a wing to themselves because they had to for being, you know, state of the art, and our school was already completely accessible regardless, like, but they had their own kind of area, like, we all the kids that had were in the same age group, like the kids that were able to sit through a class, you know, we were sitting with them, and we still interacted with the kids that couldn't, the kids that had either communication issues because of whatever developmental disability they had or anything like that. Like, part of our schedule was put aside that we would go, and I don't want to use the term help out with the class, but more like attend and like learn how to help with these children, not help take care of them, but more like get more on their level, you know, much like with a child with ADHD or autism. Like, these days kids have little info sheets that'll tell them, like, hey, I'm like this. When I'm acting like this, it doesn't mean I'm being XYZ or ABC, but more so learning that for kids with all these varying.
Basically, it was their attempt at an inclusion program, an interaction program, an education program at the same time.
Like, everybody was included.
Them getting to interact with you, you getting to interact with them.
Exactly. And at a really young age. So this is K-8. The school was K-8. So, like, every single, like, formative age range you could have. And it's not like there were events just for them or just for us. Like, it was for everybody. I'm talking, like, Terry Fox runs, talent shows, school dances, school trips, even, like, because we would always get the correct school buses and things like that to drive, and like chaperones and stuff, and many of the parents volunteered in any other classes, so if they didn't, like, you know, they would volunteer in the, I hate to call it the abled classes, but I can't think of a better word, you know, the non-specialized classes, I should say.
Yeah,
they would come and they would volunteer. Like, the only reason I passed math was because of one of those parents. She was actually able to break it down for my ADHD brain on how to do it. And I wish I could have taken her all through high school. But basically, all of that is to say that, like, to any parents out there, expose your kids, regardless of their ability, to everybody else. Like, the earlier you show that we're all just humans, and I don't mean that in a lovey, preachy, imagine, fucking whatever. I mean that in a very fundamental, real, human way. The earlier you do that, the more likely they're not going to become fucking assholes when they grow up. At least not because of people that are others. Like, I saw some of the most Beavis and Butthead fucking bullies. The most, like, you know what? Not even them. I would say I have seen some of the like a Stephen King-esque bully. I have seen them go through all of this and then not be an asshole anymore. And I don't mean not completely, because once you're a fucking asshole, everyone's a fucking asshole. But I mean, they weren't bullies anymore. You know, like they stopped and they thought like they had enough of a like, oh, shit, I'm just going to say some, like these names aren't the names of these people, but like, oh, shit, Timmy's also 10. Fuck. You know, like Timmy's great. Timmy's got all this stuff. Why am I making fun of Timmy? It's so hard for Timmy compared to me. Compared to me, you know, not like, oh, it's so hard, I'm gonna go help Timmy. More like, fuck, Timmy's amazing, and he's amazing. He's just like us. He loves Pokemon too. He's not different.
And I gotta ask, why do you think that happens? Because that is not the way I would expect that program to go. At least not for
1998 in Scarborough.
Well, no, just as far as the, like, the, you know, the Kiefer Sutherland level Stephen King bullies that you're talking about, that is not how I would expect that to go.
Oh, they weren't like that immediately. There were consequences. But okay. Once they were shown that there were, they got consequences, because they're like, yeah, why wouldn't there be consequences for you making fun of this person as much as you would make fun of me, let's say.
Right.
You know what I mean? Okay, Once they saw that it was equal across the board.
It wasn't just magically, was, like, you know,
no.
You put them in the room together and it's like a fucking Michael Jackson video or something. Like,
yeah,
everyone is grabbing crotches and dancing. Like, it's...
And it wasn't Breakfast Club where it's like you got one detention and you got to do all these things. Like, it was never a punishment to be in their presence.
Right.
And I thought that was really cool as something I've reflected upon. And I've said that, like, once I went from there, then I went to a school in the village. It was easy for me to apply. Like, I wasn't exposed to as many queer people. And then right, you know, I'm as 14, the most assholish you can be is in high school. Like, everyone's peak asshole moment, whether they choose to expand or contract from there on out, is in high school. So I got dropped right in the middle of another group between the low income housing nearby where I was born into and, you know, the abundance of queer people literally just trying to live their lives. It was easy for me to take the foundations I learned on anti-assholery towards people just because they're not me, like me, or look like me, or whatever, like me, and take it forward. Like, it wasn't that hard. It's free to be compassionate. And you shouldn't have to go through life lessons.
Exactly.
You shouldn't have to go through life lessons. It should be more like this, you know, as just an exposure. Like, yeah, that was through school. That's mandatory. But I mean, there are other ways. Take your kids volunteering.
Which is probably why so many schools are now trying to stop the exposure.
Oh, my goodness. I don't know what the schools are up to these days, especially after Doug Ford cut funding.
Yeah,
like I have a whole theory on not necessarily just exclusive to disabled othering, but just othering in general right now, that the clinging to victimhood that people that previously were labeled as such and now are not. Sorry, shots fired, mostly white women is what I'm pointing towards. Mm-hmm. No matter what your developmental stages in life is like, then it's trying to cling to every single piece of individual thing that they never really considered an other part just to maintain victimhood. And I'm not saying all white women or anything like that, but it's just if you pay attention to, you know, the social world out there and like the world in general, and you just pay attention to any interaction you see, it's on the rise. And I'm sure the disability community is not immune to that either.
Oh, no.
I'm sure you guys get that a lot with people with chronic pain or something else, or something not so much comparing levels, but more so the how it impacts your life is where kind of I draw the line, is how much is it impacting your day to day life?
Yeah. I mean, there's some of that in the community. And then you follow Courtney and Brittany at the Mother podcast, bitching and bolusing. And I mean, so you see some of the fights going on there, as far as we just got into a doozy with the whole concept of forced sterilization.
fuck my life.
All that bullshit. And
yeah.
Parents, it's like, well, my disabled child might be raped. And then they would, you know, and what if they got pregnant? It's like, okay, so are you, your abled daughter might be raped. Have you considered forced sterilization of her? Have you considered that if you get pregnant again, you might have another disabled child? So should you be forcibly sterilized as well? Like, where does this stop? And they talk about it like taking their shih tzu to the vet. And it's just,
talk about it not even being the point. The point is rape.
Exactly. Exactly.
The point is rape. It doesn't fucking matter because whoever's being raped didn't want to be raped. That is the whole point of fucking rape.
Exactly.
Jesus. Why are people dumb?
Because they are. Because they are. Because they get into little social media groups of everyone that just echoes what they want. And it's, yeah.
There is a difference between an echo chamber and curating people who don't violate your peace. There is a very big difference. Absolutely. I have a curated space where people do not violate my peace. Yet, I am still a responsible media consumer, and I'm not going to assume that everything that's just thrown at me by every Tom, Dick, and Harry on the internet is true. Trust, but verify, folks. If there's anything you learn from today, trust, but verify.
So, as you are the horror film aficionado, is this a horror film? Because it was marketed as at the time, and it still is marketed as a horror film.
I would say so. I would say yes. Only because of two reasons. One is for the time, that plot twist was fucking huge. As we've discussed the reasons why. Two, there was a degree of violence involved. And during that time, if there was something violent that wasn't like a war type of situation or, you know, like even just like film noirs weren't really a thing just yet. I think they were just blooming at that time too.
Yeah.
So there wasn't really much of another genre to put it in. Like today, it would probably be considered more of a thriller, you know? But the other reason is just because of all the horror things that it has inspired.
Mm-hmm.
And it's inspired quite a few. So I would say that, yes. It's also inspired stuff in noir. Like, it's ignorant to say that, you know, there weren't traces of this in Nightmare Alley. You know, the original. Yeah. And the story and such, if anyone has seen it. And I actually like the Guillermo del Toro remake of it.
And I mean, like, I would say that you can see touches of it in Night of the Living Dead.
Oh, 100%.
The original Ramiro.
American Horror Story Freak Show, which I'm not going to say if it's good, but it's a direct.
Yeah, I gave up on Horror Story long before Freak Show. I can't even remember where I gave up. But I found touch, even just like slight touches of it in 28 Days Later.
Mm-hmm.
I even tried. I know you and I have already talked about the soundtrack on your show, but yeah. I even tried taking the second time I watched it, like that starting from about where Hercules tries to break into kicking down the door of the horse cart of her little mobile home thing.
Yeah,
I tried putting on the theme from 28 Days Later. The in your house, in the house sequence.
Yes.
On like my headphones and watching with that. It almost, I just couldn't get it set up right, but it almost works. Just the freaks crawling through the mud, chasing Hercules through the mud, and like they stab him and then they're just closing in on him. It's like it's like a slower version of like the stuff from that. It's great.
Yes. Oh, and since we talked about Sopranos so many times, this was actually mentioned in The Sopranos, in the episode where What's-Her-Face goes to university and she's in her film class and she like rips apart her class for shitting on the movie.
Yeah.
And it was like, I remember that episode. I just did a rewatch earlier this year, or last year, I should say. It's 2024. Time is not real, folks.
Time does not exist anymore.
That's a whole different podcast.
Exactly.
No?
Yeah. I mean, for me, it's just it's a revenge tale at this point. It is like quite literally just fuck around and find out. It is, you know, there could almost be a sequel where it's the duck lady somehow trying to get revenge.
Yeah. Like, tell me this isn't like, I mean, the whole point of this podcast is to not take the disabled factor out of this, but you could take the disabled factor out of this movie and it could still be brilliantly told from anybody that's scorned. Any group that's scorned. Like, you could have this be the little revenge fantasy of, like, any community.
True, but I don't think it would... It wouldn't work visually the same way.
No, it wouldn't. This is...
I mean, it is... It's taking... And I mean, some of the disabled people that were used in this are almost the extremes of disability because they were the freak show people.
Yeah, a lot of these people were either vaudeville or vaudeville or circus or
exactly.
Sideshow characters.
So, like, it takes people that were already feared or shunned by society literally because of their looks, not necessarily quote unquote for behavior or, you know, preferences or anything like that. And I'm using the bigoted words, not the way I feel. And
just like I can't hide the fact that I'm brown on the street, they couldn't hide the fact of who they were.
Exactly. Like I can't hide my disability. So yeah. I don't try and I don't worry about that anymore. It's, you know, my parents, at least in my teenage years, never understood why I like shaved my head into a mohawk and dyed it red. It's like I'm giving them something else to stare at.
That's it.
You know,
that's
it. Like the people in the people that were in this film, that are in this community, in this movie, were literally made their money off the fact that they were going to be gawked at,
mm-hmm.
and had their own little closed society to protect themselves because no one else would. And then once somebody started to fuck with that,
mm-hmm.
they found out.
Yep, and like. From my 2024 lens, like I have, as I get older, I definitely lean into what the, I guess, popular culture calls good for her. But it could, you know, her is everybody. Like mm-hmm. her is whoever deserves to be her. Her is not a gender in this situation. But like, you know, this falls into my good for her slash like genre of films. And like, you know, as I've told many people in my life, mostly women, but many people in my life, if you're going to put up with that shit, then fucking pay me. If you're going to look at me, fucking pay me.
Yeah.
If you're going to like take any kind of entertainment or like any kind of pleasure or joy from my physical form or my talents or whatever I have to provide in this world, then fucking pay me. And good for her. Good for them. Like, it's like a weird sense of agency.
Because like the family in Texas Chainsaw Massacre is basically a shunned family.
Oh, fuck yeah, they are.
But you're never going to turn Leatherface into a sympathetic character. And if you you fucked up horribly and do not understand the project. But yes, as we are talking about other movies now.
Yes.
Do you, Bhavna, want to do your plugs while I find my plugs?
Yeah, for sure.
Anything you want to plug, anything you want to push. And please, if you have the info, plug Jamie's other podcast as well.
Of course. So,
since she's not here tonight, and I should have invited her, but...
That's all right. We'll have her on. There's tons of things to talk about.
You will both be here, because we're going to do that Cronenberg Crash thing. Maybe not until season two, but we're going to do that Cronenberg Crash thing.
We have to. So as I said at the beginning, I am Bhavna Sharma. I am one half of the Bloody Broads. You can find us on all socials as Bloody Broads Pod, except for on Blue Sky, where we're just Bloody Broads, because that was taken somehow. You can even send us an email at bloodybroadspod@gmail.com. We're available anywhere you can listen to podcasts. Please like, rate, subscribe, leave us a 5-star review, and even if it's something, if you want us to read it on air, please do read us a 5-star review. We do read those. You can find me as at The Lucky Charms, that's S-H-A-R-M-S, on most social media platforms, except for Instagram, where there's a little underscore at the end because somebody took it. And I will find them and I will hunt them down. I have a very specific set of skills. And as Wes said, my lovely co-host, Jamie Kirsten Howard, she has another podcast as well. It's really awesome. It's called How Did You Get Here? It's basically her interviewing a bunch of people in a whole bunch of different professions and how they landed there. And, you know, I can speak as a millennial. I've worn many hats. I know Wes has worn many hats, and, it's kind of nice, even just comforting to hear that you're not alone if you weren't, you know, in the career you started out in or envisioned for yourself. So that's How Did You Get Here? It'll be linked in our page. We'll send it in the show notes.
I have actually been binging that show over the last week.
Aw, that's really awesome to hear.
I think I've done like 6 episodes of it. It's great.
Yeah. Isn't it though? It's super great. And I mean, I can also speak from my experiences co-hosting with Jamie, is that she's lovely. She's insightful. And honestly, she asks the best questions. So,
and I totally respect Jamie for the fact that she has a skill that I do not have of being able to just shut up and listen for 10 minutes.
That's a skill I don't have either, but we're both medicated. So thanks, Lexapro.
Exactly. And as I cue the Disabled Land music, I will finally get my outros right, as this is the 4th time I'm reading them on a show. I am Wes of Disabled Land, and this has been Disabled Land. You can find me on Instagram at Wes_of_disabledland. You can find my merchandise at disabledland.threadless.com. You can find Courtney and Brittany at the Mother Podcast, Bitching and Bolusing, where you're listening to this. You can find them on Instagram and I believe TikTok at bitching_and_bolusing. And if you would like to support the construction of inclusive school playgrounds for disabled children, support the Recess Project at therecessproject.org or the Recess Project on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, everywhere but TwitX or whatever that maniac is calling it this day. Also, you can find me there, but I don't know my password anymore and I'm never going back.
I'm going down with the ship a la Titanic. I'm one of the people in the orchestra.
Yep. So I will just say, if you're out there, you're disabled on the planet of the Ables, whatever you do, just stay alive, like Robbie will, because Robbie is one of us now. Google gobble, motherfucker. And besides, disabled existence is the best form of resistance. Disabled Land is out.